10 to Matthew chapter number 9. We are finishing chapter number 9 this morning, and we will be taking a break and look at other passages of scripture in the coming weeks or months. Matthew 9, we are looking at verses 35 to
38.
The title of the message is in a question form this morning. What happened to the laborers? What happened to the workers? The assumption is that there should be workers, but something has happened. So whatever happened, we must find out and find a way of correcting the wrong that had happened. We're reading then from verse 35 to 38, and I'll read from the ESV. And Jesus went through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the kingdom and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." The good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. May he write his eternal truth upon our hearts. Almost every Christian knows the Great Commission. We all know that we need to go out and preach the gospel and preach the gospel to every human being out there. But I think we all have noticed how few are those who go out there, how few are those who are willing to be engaged in missions or church planting. Actually, when you think of church planting, many churches from the suburban areas claim to be involved in church planting. They speak about it in most cases. But when you look at it, it looks like most of them, they just want the world to know that they are involved in missions in a way. But if you look at it, you can realize that many, not all, but many are involved for their own benefit or status that they want to get from out there. But we also are not personally involved in evangelism as Christians in a way that we should be. Therefore, this message should actually ignite our love for the lost. It should encourage us to see the world the way Jesus saw it. We must see the world the way Jesus saw it, and then within there we can call then the people, every person out there, to come into fellowship, into a relationship, a living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If we can see the world that Jesus saw it, we can call people to come for their salvation in Christ Jesus. From this passage, we can see again, we are reminded
of the reason why Jesus came into this world. It is because humanity is lost and is in spiritual desolation. They are isolated from God.
Then
verse 35 tells us then that Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, please listen, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. That's why he came. To preach the gospel, to teach the good news of heaven, to reconcile men to God, to bring the two opposing parties together and say, let us reason together, even though your sins may be red as a scarlet. Come, I will wash them whiter than a snow. The Bible says he taught, he preached, and then he healed. Please notice, he did not make healing the focus of his ministry. And he did not make healing the focus of his ministry, or made it his mission in this world. But Jesus taught. Why? Because people needed more than physical healing. People needed God. People needed the relationship with their Creator. People need a relationship with God, a relationship which was broken by sin in Adam. So we should be reminded of how Jesus looked at the world before us. And that is how we should look at the world ourselves. So this morning we shall consider then three ways in which Jesus saw the world before us. Firstly, Jesus saw a helpless situation. He didn't just see happy people going around, he saw a helpless situation.
Verse 36.
When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Church, it is until we have compassion for the soul, then we will be driven closer to them with the gospel of God. When Jesus saw the crowd, he had pity on them because they were troubled, says the Bible. They were distressed, friends. They were helpless and forsaken. They had nowhere to go and no one to call unto for help. They were in sin and had no hope for help. They were living without God in this world. They were without a savior. They were like a sheep without a shepherd. In other words, their religious leaders had failed them.
Better No one could tell them how to escape the coming wrath of God against sin and all that is unrighteous. So spiritually, they were like sheep without a shepherd. They're like a sheep who had fallen and broke her legs and could not get back to her feet. They were vulnerable to Satan, the enemy of God, the enemy of man. So Jesus looked at the people and saw them the way they were really were. Jesus' friends looked beyond their happy faces. If it was today, I would say he looked beyond their mansions, he looked beyond their huge and beautiful homes that they had. If it was today, I would say you look beyond their supercars, the beautiful cars that they are driving, and everything that they had, the nice clothes that they were wearing. He looked beyond all those things. But also because of his grace, he looked beyond their physical lack and poverty. Jesus saw the emptiness of the soul. He saw what naked eyes could not see. He saw the shame which everybody is hiding against or towards one another. Okay, thank you. The shame that people hide from one another. He saw it as he looked at the crowds. Church, I don't know if you can tell what is true helplessness. What can you tell what is a true helpless situation? Because friends, not every happy face is rejoicing. Not every sad face as well is mourning. Therefore, we must not always be more concerned about what seems to be the truth from outside. We must not use our judgment and judge things on the outside. We need to go inside and look at the core, the deepness of the heart. Is this a happy situation or a helpless situation? A helpless situation, friends, it's whereby a sinner is without God. So the question that we always have to ask, as we look at the crowds, has this person been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Has this person been washed in the blood of the Lamb? If so, is this person rejoicing in the Lord? Or are the people just joyful because of the outside advantages that they have towards others? A helpless situation is whereby a sinner is without God. But we can also see from this passage that a helpless situation is whereby people are led by worldly leaders.
That is the situation we should be seeing when we look at the multitudes outside the grace of God. That is the situation that should cause us to have compassion and pity on people. That is the situation which should remind us to call on people to be reconciled to God. People need to be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, whom alone is the true shepherd of the soul, the one who was willing to give his life for the sheep on that mountain, the Calvary's mountain. Friends, please notice. This crowd before Jesus might have looked calm and comfortable. Crowds can look calm and comfortable. Crowds can look rejoicing at all times. Crowds can make people think that weekend is all about rejoicing and everyone is happy. But Jesus knew within their hearts. Jesus knows even today, no one is calm, no one is comfortable outside the grace, the saving grace of God through Him who was crucified on the cross. So regardless of their success, regardless of anything that we can look at and appreciate them, humanly speaking, they were troubled, these people, before Jesus. Doesn't matter what people have. Doesn't matter what people do not have. You can have it all, but when you don't have Christ, you have nothing. You can have nothing and cry every day that you have nothing, but when you don't have Christ, you even have more than nothing.
Jesus
saw a helpless situation, crowds without God. They deserved pity. They deserved compassion. They could not cause happiness on themselves. Nobody cared for their souls. No religious man or religious leader was there to care for their souls. Their leaders, the Pharisees, the Jewish leadership at the time, could only care for themselves. They were enriching themselves at the expense of the human soul. And I think that is what we see today. Leaders enriching themselves at the expense of the human soul. Leaders not seeing a helpless situation. Leaders seeing a situation where they can help themselves. Ezekiel 34 verse 2 says,
34 verse 2,
it says, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel." In other words, speak against them. "Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, O shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the flock?"
Shepherds,
are you not seeing a helpless situation? Shepherds, are you seeing a situation whereby you think you can take advantage and help yourselves?
But
the Christian church should be different. We must see the world as Jesus saw it. We must see a helpless situation and be moved with compassion and pity on the people. Only then we can bring the everlasting good news, the word of God, and feed the hungry until they need no more. When we see a hopeless situation, Jesus saw a hopeless situation.
How want to end to my M.R. as Nancy? Because when I cannot bring my M.R. as Nancy.
Secondly, Jesus saw a potential harvest. He doesn't sit there or stand and see a helpless situation only, but he see a potential harvest. Look at verse
37.
Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the deliverers are few." Church, Jesus was not discouraged because few were willing to believe on him. He saw a potential harvest for heaven. In his mind, every person you come across in this world, it doesn't matter where, is a potential believer that will be ushered in into the kingdom of God. In his mind, whatever the chaos may be, from Cape to Cairo, from Colombia to Timbuktu, it doesn't matter. He sees a potential Christian. We should be seeing potential believers.
He says,
the harvest is plentiful. There's a farm out there that is already ready for harvest. A farm that is ready, that is ripe. I don't know if that is what we see when we see a helpless situation or when we see the crowds. People who need to be ushered into the kingdom of God. Or we just see a helpless situation that no one can help, even Jesus Christ cannot help. That is why our church is full, because wherever we go, we see a potential believer. Or our church is empty because wherever we go, we just see people who annoy us at times. In John 4, verse 35, when Jesus was in Samaria, he says to his disciples, "Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white and ready for harvest."
4, verse 35.
Verse Even in Luke chapter number 10, verse 2, before he sends them out, he says the very same word, the harvest is plentiful. That is what Jesus saw.
And Luke 10,
Jesus looked at unbelievers and see a global harvest of souls. Jesus looked at the crowd and see potential members of his church. He looked at the chaos. The harvest is plentiful. That farm is ripe to reap. But please notice, friend, he's not saying the harvest is awaiting you to come with your personal techniques of how to make things better for the people to be happy in this world.
No,
that is not what he's saying. He's speaking it direct to his disciples. He says to them, the land that you see, the people that you see, the crowds before you, this land is not a desolate land. This hopeless situation is really not hopeless. This land is full of potential. There's potential souls for the kingdom of heaven. Your drunkard husband is a potential member of the church of God. Your miserable wife is a potential member of the church of God. Your disobedient children are members, potential members. The chaos that you see around is potential members of the kingdom of God. The harvest is plentiful. Because, church, it is easy to look around and see a hopeless situation and then we lose hope. It is possible that you look around and you see people desiring signs and wonders, and then you lose hope because in your church, Babaraz cannot perform signs and wonders. Then it is possible to look at people and see others following for their own gains, and they enriching themselves like the leaders of Israel. Then you lose hope. We can look at the people around us and look and lose hope. The people around us who doesn't care what we have been saying, they don't care what we have been preaching about. They destroy our tents, they steal our poles, they burn everything, they put all the dirty things wherever they want to put them. You might lose hope. Then we can conclude, you know what? Let us go somewhere else. But Jesus says no. The harvest is plentiful. He says to Paul in Acts chapter number 10, number 18, verse 10, I have plenty of my people there. Do not go away. Preach the gospel. The harvest is plentiful. So, church, we will not look at our weaknesses. We will not look at the weakness of the church, the insignificance of this tent around here. We will not look at that and lose hope. We will look unto the words, the faithful words of the Lord Jesus Christ, who says, plentiful is the harvest.
We need to be obedient to his ways. We need to take him at his word when he says the harvest is plentiful. Jesus looked at the crowds. 2,000 years later, nothing has changed. It's still a hopeless situation. How are we going to look at the crowds? What we need? We need to carry the seed with us. Today, the word seed means something else to the outside world because of these false churches. When we speak of the seed, we speak of the word of God, the only seed that can germinate, the only seed that is watered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The seed is not the money in your bank account or your 5 rand in your pocket that you must bring to church. Seed is the word of God. The word that was planted, even birds of the sky cannot steal the seed that can germinate because it is watered by the precious blood of the Lamb. That is the seed that we must carry out. The harvest is plentiful. I remember when we first came here in Olivet to preach the gospel. It was me and Deacon Nyaks. We were walking the streets. We met you, Mama, eh? Walking the streets. Years ago. But church, something touched us when we came to this place. It looked like a helpless, hopeless situation at the time. And I can tell you, friends, we were even convinced that there is no Christian in this place. The way we saw, what we saw, I wish I could explain to you. We thought there were no Christians yet. Of course, we were wrong because we were looking according to the situation at the time. There are Christians around. You can find one or two somehow. But we saw a helpless situation. Later on, I joined up with many pastors and we began to engage and speak. And what the pastors, to my surprise, what they told me, they said, "We don't need you. We don't need you to bring a new church in this place." That's what they said. "We don't need anything. There is no harvest here." But in our hearts we said, the harvest is plentiful. Jesus says the harvest is plentiful. Man might think there's no need for more laborers. We had to see things the way Jesus saw things. And I pray and I ask and I plead with you, let us see things again as Jesus saw things before. Let us all have the same zeal that me and Inyaks and Maslang at the time had, the same zeal that Baba Raz had, and he was walking the street of that side while we were this side. Let us have the same zeal. Why? Plentiful is the harvest. It's a helpless, hopeless situation without Jesus.
But
Friends, the harvest is still plentiful. In the midst of this charismatic chaos, the harvest is plentiful. Around us, there are people ready to respond to the gospel. There are people ready to flee from the wrath to come. There are people ready to love Jesus, the lover of their souls. There are people who are willing and ready to say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on my soul. Jesus saw a plentiful harvest. A potential harvest. Deadly. Jesus saw a need for more workers. Verse 38. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. So the question now is, if the harvest is plentiful and the Christian church has been around here for so long, there are churches everywhere, in every corner of the street there is a church. So where are the true laborers? What happened to the laborers? We don't see many people. We don't see people involved faithfully working in the mission field, preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ without bringing their own agenda into the thing. Church, Jesus was concerned at the time. He's concerned today. We also have to be concerned as he was. Jesus was concerned about the unwillingness or the lack of men who will go out there and preach the gospel. Men who will go out there and rescue the troubled soul. Men will go and reap the harvest through the preaching of the gospel of God. He looked around and he saw 12 disciples with him. He looked around and saw empty chairs. But still, he said to the few, the harvest is plentiful. We need more workers. Where do you get the workers? From the harvest. So he looks around and see a few people, says, there's a lot of work to be done. We need more people. Let me put it this way to you, church. The greatest need our country has is not the shortage of teachers and nurses. It is not the shortage of food and employment. It is not a strong opposition to the ANC. Also, it is not a stronger ANC. It is not land and economic freedom that we need. It is not racial equality that we need. It is not a blue t-shirt party or a yellow and gold t-shirt party or a red party that we need. The whole world is in the same greatest need. And the need of this world is not to unite against global warming. Jesus says, the world needs more workers. The world needs more Christians. But Christians who are not sitting at home warming up their beds. But she says in Mungo, Christians will look at the world the way Jesus saw the world. Christians will see a helpless situation. Christians will see a potential growth of the church. Christians will meet each and every soul and see a potential member of the church of the Church of God. Then he tells them how to get these workers. He says, go out there. Send men to the seminary. He says, take your children, take your sons, teach them how to preach, force them into the ministry. No, he didn't say that. Pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers. Please notice, look at your Bible. To send laborers in his harvest.
In
his
harvest.
The harvest belongs to the Lord. The laborers will come from the Lord. The laborers will not be nurtured by us and be sent by us on our own power and wisdom. They must come from God. They must carry the oracles of God. They must have the wisdom from God. They must be full of the Spirit of God. What is Jesus saying? The dying world before us is dependent on the gospel. It is dependent on both God and man. The people out there will not believe unless someone will preach to them. And no one will go out there and do the work of God unless he is sent from God, unless he is prayed for by the church, unless he is sent out with a mission to the fields. The harvest belongs to the Lord. He alone will prepare men and women for the work of the ministry. Church, there is a great need for Christians to evangelize the multitudes. Christians need to evangelize and point people back to God. As we point them to God, let us not forget to point them to true biblical churches. We are tired of people going in and marching in and filling up those false churches. You may ask a question, but there are so many Christians. What is this pastor talking about? The question is, are we not supposed to go out there till to the end of the ages? Of the age? The question is, look around, is our township God seeking? Are there individual families out there God seeking? Are we not supposed to be out there? Hence the question, friends, what happened to the laborers then? Why are we not out there? Why are we not pleading with men to be reconciled to God? What happened to the workers? Let me suggest a few things that happened to the laborers. The laborers are inward looking. In other words, we are more concerned about what is happening in the four corners of this tents and in the four corners of our own buildings. We are inward looking. We need a church that is outward looking. So what happened to the laborers? The laborers are inward looking. The laborers are occupied with doctrinal debates. The laborers are busy on Facebook and other social interactions. The Twitters. The laborers are motivated by money. The laborers are seeking for fun and to create entertaining atmospheres. Our children are not groomed properly to be engaged in mission, so that when they grow old now, they don't have a space in their hearts for the lost. The laborers are building up their careers. They're looking for promotions at work. But most importantly, the laborers are not actually laborers themselves. They are part of the harvest. They need someone to work on them. The laborers have forgotten. They have forgotten the blessings in Romans 10 verse 5, which is quoted from Isaiah, which says, "Blessed are the feet of him who preaches the good news." We have forgotten the blessing. In that verse you can see it says, "Blessed are the feet of those who goes out." So we are blessers. So the young ladies out there who are looking for blessers, they are looking for us. We are the true blessers to bring the gospel unto them. God will bless such men. It is okay now. We have seen they are looking for blessers. Let us be the blessers. By bringing in the gospel of God unto them. As in the days of Ezekiel. The laborers have always been concerned about their bellies. That's what happened to the laborers. They are concerned about bellies and position of power. Everyone wants to be inside the church. Everyone wants an opportunity to come to the front, behind the pulpit, to say a few words. No one is out there. But Jesus says, let us pray for the harvest. Let us pray for the workers and the harvest. We are not praying for new churches. That is okay. We are praying for workers who are already in the church. We pray because this is at the center of God's heart. We say, Lord, send the laborers, send them among us. Send them here in Oliven. We pray because this is God's mission. Let me close like this, friends. For the spread of the true Christian movement, we must see the world as Jesus saw it. We must see a helpless situation. We must see a mission field. A mission field regardless of religiousness. We must see a potential Christian in every person. Because it is not upon us to judge or decide whom Jesus will save. Let us stop being disobedient to the call to go out. Let us see as Jesus saw. Let us ask ourselves all the time, what happened to the laborers? What do we mean when we ask them? What happened to me, myself, and I, because I'm not out there? Why am I not evangelizing? Why am I not involved in evangelistic outreaches? Church, the work is not over. The harvest is plentiful. Therefore, we need a Sunday school that will influence those of their own age group. We need men and women who influence other men and women in this world in a godly way. We need a youth who will go out there and shine their light so that the whole world will see God. And church, we are going to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God until the last soul to be saved in Olivet is saved. And that can only happen when we see the world as Jesus saw the world. So what are we going to do as the church? We will plan evangelistic outreaches as we used to do. We will go out there. We will all be involved. We will commit to the church and to God. We will distribute the tracts out there and we will do open air. We will invite people, be reconciled to God. We will look at the crowd with great compassion. We will have pity on them. Pity on everyone outside the Lord Jesus Christ. So what happened to the laborers? They don't see the world as Jesus saw the world. What should happen to the laborers? They need to see the world as Jesus saw the world. Can we see the world as Jesus saw the world, church? Helpless situation. Potential Christians out there. Potential harvest. A need for many workers. The good Lord bless you. Amen. Let's pray.
Oh Lord, our Lord, we thank you, our Savior and King, for your words, O Lord, reminding us indeed that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Lord, we pray that we may not look amongst ourselves, that we may not look at the situation being hopeless as it is, and then we become hopeless ourselves. But indeed, we may pray, O Lord. We may pray to the Lord of the harvest to send the laborers, that indeed we may look outside ourselves, because we are laborers. That we may go out, O Lord, and go and engage in harvesting. So help us, O Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, Amen.